ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Also in Jerusalem, Paul, after he got saved, is there. And in Acts 9:26, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. You got to love that. Of course they're afraid of him. He's dragging people out of their homes, taking them before the religious leaders. They're going to court. They're losing their jobs. It was horrible. And now this guy's in town and they're afraid. They knew his deeds and they knew his words. They both matched up. But now things have changed. Barnabas takes Paul in, and over time, people realize, hey, look, all the things he's saying about being a Christian are really true. We have the evidence before us, and they welcome Saul or Paul. That's true in our own lives. Our words and deeds need to match up, because if they don't, it's like we're blowing a lot of hot air towards them. It's meaningless, and they're not going to believe what we're saying because there's no evidence for it. So here, Lazarus is the evidence, and it leads us to the next point. Destroying the evidence. Look at verse 10 here in John chapter 12. But the chief priests took counsel that they might also put Lazarus to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. All these people now are starting to believe in Jesus, and the Jewish religious leaders not only wanted to get rid of Jesus, but they wanted to get rid of Lazarus. Why? Because he was a testimony to who Jesus is. Only God could raise the dead, and here, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Jesus must be God. And they want to kill him. And that's what I want to focus on in our study this morning, that they want to destroy the evidence. And like Lazarus, Christians are the evidence. We're the evidence for what God has done in our lives. You know, I remember several years after I first got saved, my mom had said to my wife that she thought that that this Christianity thing was just a fad I was going through, you know, like bell bottoms and suede shoes, platform shoes, things like that. And it wasn't. It was a way of life. My life was a testimony, even though I couldn't share with her because she didn't want to hear anymore. She was examining my wife and I, our lives together, raising our children, was a testimony to her of our faith. And that's the way it should be. And, you know, the first way they try to do this, just like they wanted to do with Lazarus, is kill them. Destroy Christians. If they can kill us or frighten us, we're not going to be able to shine for Jesus and stand up for righteousness. But think about it. When Rome was putting to death, martyring Christians by the thousands, by millions, actually, there were 6 million over that period of time that were martyred, their witness stood strong. Many of them died at the stake praising God as they were being burned alive. In fact, the testimony of Christians, them standing up for God, is what caused, well, the Colosseum was packed with people to watch this stuff. But over time, they saw this witness, and it changed their hearts that this was wrong, and they stopped it. You see, their testimony, even in their death, was a witness of their faith in God. In John 1:5, John said that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. And comprehend can have two meanings to it. You know, as the light of God was shining, many did understand it. Their eyes were blind to the truth. And, you know, if you're searching for the truth, God says you'll find it because he'll open their eyes. And if you're not, you'll remain in darkness. Another way the word comprehend can be expressed is to extinguish. In other words, the light has come into the world, Jesus Christ, and the darkness is going to try and put it out. It's not going to succeed. The word's going to be victorious despite the opposition. But it continues to grow. Why? Because men love darkness rather than the light. And thus, when the light comes on, it exposes the darkness, and they try to extinguish that light by any means they can. You know, when I was in college, living out in Arizona. Arizona has a lot of cockroaches. Why, I don't know, but they just do. And, you know, I was living with two other guys, and, you know, I guess we weren't the cleanest guys around, as putting it mildly. And you turn on the lights, and all of a sudden, the cockroaches would scatter. They would just go into hiding. And isn't that true with us? You know, my wife and I, years ago, went on a lot of cruise ships on vacation, and you know, my wife, people would ask my wife, well, what does your husband do? And she would say, oh, he's a pastor.
They walk away.
That would be it. They don't, hey, I'm on vacation. I'm going to party. I'm going to have a good time. I don't want to deal with any. Really? Really? I don't know. But that's the way it is. But persecution around the world against Christians is growing and growing. There are more Christians being put to death in our period of time than in any other time in church history, and we have social media that lets us know all this information, and they don't tell us. We have news organizations that are aware of this, and they don't tell us. Why? Because it doesn't promote their cause. They don't care if Christians die. They care about their cause. More than 360 million Christians suffer high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. Really, 1 in 7 worldwide Christians suffer persecution. How many of us knew that? 1 in 5 in Africa, 2 out of 5 in Asia, 1 out of 15 in Latin America. Nigeria rose 2 places to the top 10, and it's just the jihadist violence against Christians in that region. Colleges, schools, churches, villages, community leaders continue to be targeted for kidnappings, killings, injuries, destruction of livestock and livelihoods, especially by Fulani militants, as well as the known jihadist groups, Boko Haram and Islamic State West African Province. It's amazing all that is going on. Afghanistan replaces North Korea as number one in the world watch list, number one. Following the Taliban takeover in 2020-21, Christians face certain death if discovered. And much of the Christian population has fled. And if any remain there, they're hiding. That's the one group that's trying to, and I'm not going to mention their name because we're on the air, but one group that's trying to rescue them from Afghanistan because our government has abandoned them. But they're trying to save them and place them in countries, places that will accept them. North Korea, in 2022, it's reached the highest recorded levels in the country for persecution against Christians. Nigeria, like I said, 79% of the almost 6,000 Christians killed for their faith in the past year were in Nigeria. 79% of Christians. India, violence in India, very high level against Christians. And Myanmar, violence against Christians has increased. Despite the lifting of COVID restrictions, house churches have remained closed. Isn't that interesting? The military sees church gatherings as an avenue for opposition. Well, that's exactly what they saw with us, with churches in America when they closed them down, right? They opened up the bar and the church is still closed. What is up with that? Well, you know, people got to have their liquor. Well, the people need to have their God, and we need to have fellowship. And China is getting worse and worse. You know, for a period of time, China was kind of lax. You know, they kind of allowed Christian churches to continue on. They had the state church, which was a Christian church, but they were ruling over it, what was being promoted. But the true church that was teaching the Bible, they were allowed for a time over the past 2-3 years now, they have clamped down heavily against Bible-believing Christians and churches. And it's interesting, with the technology they have, they're using it to persecute Christians. You have a system that evaluates how good or bad you are according to the state. So who do you think they're going to come against? Christians. So as a neighbor, you know, Scotty, I'm going to give him some bad numbers. And that's what happens. Because as a neighbor, as someone else, I can turn someone in and I get credit. I get points for it. Well, that's an incentive to turn people in when you see them doing something that the state says is wrong, not necessarily wrong. And, you know, obviously here in America, we may not be facing that kind of violence or persecution yet. But don't you see it coming? I mean, all over the world, persecution is growing. Oh, but it won't happen here. You know, Christians have this pie in the sky idea. Oh, you know, revival is going to break out. You know, we're going to take over. We're going to do this. Really? Have you read the Bible? It's going to get worse and worse. Now, are there times that it may get a little bit better? It could, but I think we're in a period of time where I see ourselves moving farther and farther away from God within all the immorality that's going on. And the more you move away from God, the more he gives you over to these horrible things. And so they're trying to extinguish the light by killing Christians. But again, our life and our death is a witness. You think about social media. You don't post something that is in agreement with what the social media wants on that page. You'll go like to Facebook jail, or you will be eliminated from your Twitter account. Well, what could you say that could be so wrong? Well, you could have a pro-life stance. That's wrong to them. You see, they're trying to eliminate our witness. Do you think they're going to succeed? Absolutely not. What happens when you turn on a light in a dark room? It lights up the room, doesn't it? So try and extinguish us. They can't. John Bunyan, and I told you this story before, but it's just an amazing story to me, was put in prison for preaching the gospel. And he would go out towards the fence area, and thousands of people would gather, and he'd be preaching to them. Well, they didn't like that, so they put him in the deepest, darkest part of the prison. And you know what happened there? He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. John was exiled to the island of Patmos. Think, oh my gosh, you know, the disciple of love, how could God allow that? Nothing's going to happen. You know what happened on the island of Patmos? He wrote the book of Revelation. God gave it to him. He needed to get some quiet time for that book. They can't extinguish the light because Jesus is the light. And if Jesus is in us, that Shekinah glory that's in us shines forth no matter what. But there's more ways to destroy our witness. And a big one is enticing with sin. And the world loves to entice us with sin because once they do, they can justify what they're doing. Hey, look, Christians are doing it, so why can't I? They're doing the same thing I'm doing. There's no difference. You look at what's been brought into the church today. God didn't allow it. The leaders have. Same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, abortion, Christian witches, Christian terror cards, all kinds of New Age and Eastern mysticism teachings, adultery, fornication, and on and on. I mean, even yoga. I mean, think about it. Oh, what's wrong with yoga? It's just stretching. Do you realize that yoga is not just stretching? It's the kundalini force, the spirit force at the base of your spine that you're trying to bring up to the top of your brain. That's what yoga is all about. How'd this happen? Well, many people feel it's not wrong. And notice, we feel it's not wrong. It doesn't say, what does God say about this? We feel it's not wrong. Yeah. I'll give you an example. This is one that, you know, I hear a lot. People living together apart from marriage. And they say, you know what? In God's eyes, we're married. You're not. You're in fornication. Oh, Pastor Joe, that's so unloving. That's hateful. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't say it. God did. I'm just repeating what God said. So you got a problem. You need to talk with him, not me. I'm just the messenger. I know we like to shoot the messenger, but sorry. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Well, that's pretty simple. That's not complicated. Who are the fornicators and adulterers? Those that are having sexual relations outside of marriage, and those who are having sex with another person that they're not married to. God said it, not me. Marriage is honorable, but fornication and adultery are not. Why is God so strict on that? Because he established the marriage relationship back in Genesis, and Satan came along and perverted it. Just a few generations after Adam, Lamech has two wives. Satan already perverted it that quickly. What God has given to us is very, very good. And Satan says, look, I have something that's better. And it's not. It destroys families, relationships, marriages. And it destroys our witness. You know, the world is at war with God. And they're living a life of rebellion against God. And when we follow what the world is doing, guess what? We're in rebellion against God. Now, we don't like to see it that way. Now, not me. But if you're doing things that are contrary to what God has said, you're at war with him. You're saying, God, you're not right. I'm right. And that leads us to the next point. Everybody's doing it. You know, we should have learned that lesson when we were growing up, right? I remember my mom, how many times she said it, I don't know, but many, many times. If everyone was going to jump off a bridge, would you jump too? I never figured out who all those people were that were jumping off of bridges. But there were a lot of them, weren't there? I mean, how many of those people are doing this? But they were. But I did get the point. Just because everyone is doing something doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And I think we all understand that and are in agreement with that until it goes against what we want to do. We're to follow our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And he's not going to lead us down a path that's going to cause us to sin. Psalm 23:3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see that? Paths of righteousness. If we're doing things that are not righteous, if they're not good, the Lord is not leading. And you need to turn back to him so your soul can be refreshed. And we do this for his name's sake. It's not about us, it's about him. Honoring him, bringing glory to him, and shining for him. Clark said, to display the glory of his grace and not on account of any merit in me, God's motives of conduct towards the children of men are derived from the perfections and goodness of his own nature. So are we going to follow the masses that are headed for destruction or the Lord that's leading us in paths of righteousness and brings him glory? You see, it's all about our witness for him. Our love for him is seen in the things we do. And we can blend in with the world or we can shine for Christ. And I think that's one of the things that Christians want to do today. They don't want to, you know, rock the boat. They don't want to tip the boat over, baby, right? I'm almost going to write a song for that. But we want to be just going with the flow. I don't want to say anything that's going to offend people. Have I offended anyone over the years? You don't have to raise your hand because I probably offended every single one of you by some of the things I've said. That's just the reality. When I'm studying, putting these studies together, there are some things I really don't like. Joe, you need to forgive. Yeah, come on. Really, that person? You know what they did to me? No, you need to forgive. I don't want to. I forgave you all of all your sins. Oh, you're going to pull that card out, aren't you? Okay, you're right, Lord. I'm wrong. Sorry. You see, there are things that God is showing me, and I'm sharing with you. And another point is, some people like to say, it's all under grace. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Oh, yeah, I know I'm wrong, but it's all under grace. It's all covered by the blood. You know what? That's a cop-out, and it's wrong. If the lifestyle you're living is to please your fleshly desires, to give in to every temptation, are you saved? That's something only God knows. But John in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, dealt with that. He said, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is absolutely holy, absolutely righteous, absolutely pure, and no evil. And John tells us that the message that he's going to share with them is not his personal views or opinions, but this is what the Lord showed him. It's really hard to say you're walking with God when you're continually living in sin. And the Greek word walk is habitually that lifestyle, habitual sin. I mean, we all sin. It's not to say, I mean, that would discourage every one of us if John said, hey, if you have any of that, if you walk in that way, then you're not saved. None of us would be. But he's talking about habitual sin. We still have to deal with the flesh nature. We're all, the old man was crucified with Christ, but it doesn't mean the flesh was taken away. Why? Well, I still have it here. This is what I have to deal with every day. And it's corrupt and it has to be changed, and it will, in the twinkling of an eye, will be caught up to be with the Lord, and these bodies of flesh will be transformed into new bodies. But if we're saying we're walking with God and in an habitual sin, how can that be when we're walking in the opposite direction of God? It doesn't make any sense. You know, think about David, his sin with Bathsheba, killing her husband Uriah, one of David's mighty men. He covered his sin for a whole year before he repented, but there were consequences to his actions. And I know some say, you know, hey, the more I sin, the more God's grace is seen. Well, Paul dealt with that in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, because he thought, hey, you know, someone's going to come up with that question, and I'm going to answer it, because otherwise they're going to say that, hey, the more I sin, the more there's grace. And he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There it is. The more I sin, the more people see God's grace. So, hey, you know, I'm just going to sin and let people see God's grace. He says, certainly not. God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer to it? Sin had you in bondage. Why are you going back to something that had you in bondage? Paul does not want us to be ignorant about this truth, because Christian living is dependent on Christian learning. We need to know how to walk. But then we need to apply that. We need to know what the scriptures have to say, but then apply that to our lives. And the world is watching. Make no mistake about it. You may be at work and you think, oh man, I can't share Jesus. No one's watching me. Everybody's watching you. If they know you're a Christian, they're going to watch. As the boss comes up to you and chews you out, how you respond to that. As that customer comes up to you and just reams you out for something, you didn't do anything wrong, but they're reaming you out. How do you respond? See, they're watching you, how you respond to situations. And we have to be careful. They love to entice us to sin, don't they? They want us to join with them. I think that's probably one of the big things today that we have to deal with, because sin is abounding today. I mean, think about it. You know, years ago, I just read about this. You used to get pornographic material in the mail in a brown paper wrapping, right? No one knew what was in there until you opened it up. Today, it's even more discreet, because you just hop on the internet and you could go anywhere and get anything you want. But I tell you, you open that door and it'll get worse and worse and worse, and it'll destroy your life. They know once they hook you, once they get you to look once, they got you. And so praise God for spam folders for me, because you would not believe the things I get from Calvary Chapel. They use our address, that are pornographic sites, and they just want you once. What about cheating on your income tax? Well, you know, it's not their money anyway. It's my money. You know, when they asked Jesus about paying tax, temple tax, what did he tell Peter to do? Peter, go fishing, and he pulls out the money for the tax. He paid for it. Is God big enough to provide for you? Be honest. He'll take care of you. The world loves to entice us to sin to destroy our lives. And this is a big one today, the last one. Cause division. Have you ever seen our nation so divided as we do today? I know in the 60s, the civil rights movement, that was bad. I remember being in my house. My parents were afraid that the rioting was going to come out towards them. But I look at today, and there's really not a cause. They're just fighting. Oh, they say it's a cause. You know, like Black Lives Matter. Don't mean to offend anyone, but it's a communist organization. If they really cared about black lives, why don't they go to Nigeria and help the millions of people that are being killed by black people killing black people? They don't care about that. They care about their cause and money, which they got caught. Millions upon millions of dollars they make. Look at Planned Parenthood. The money that the government gives, or we give, to Planned Parenthood, they're using to support political candidates. How could that be? And so they're dividing us. They're getting us to fight amongst each other. Illegal immigration, transgenderism, homosexuality, the color of our skin, like it really matters. It's shades of color. Do you really think I'm white? No, white is a piece of paper that's white. I'm pretty tan. My wife is pretty pale. That's just the way it is. We're different shades of color. We are all human beings. There's one race, the human race. And so now we get the human race fighting amongst each other for what? The color of our skin? Ridiculous. But they're good at it. Why are they doing it? You divide and you conquer. It's really simple. This is not, I mean, we shouldn't be like, wow, that's amazing. No, they always do that. You divide and you conquer. And if Americans are fighting amongst themselves, guess what? The government implements what they want.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.